We are beginning to have a very special evening. We have waited, some of us, for many years for this particular thing to take place. That is, guests coming to what's called the eighth day. It is a holy day that it will begin at sunset tonight. This is basically, if some of you are familiar with a parable that Jesus talked about the king who had a wedding ceremony, and he set out to the guests who were supposed to come. Some didn't come. They had all sorts of reasons for not coming. You remember those parables? If so, you have read that parable. And what did the king do? He sent his servants out to find anybody that wanted to come, to come. And this is kind of what this is all about. It is a ceremony of the king, that is, the creator of heaven and earth, unto the wedding ceremony of his son. And we all know what scripture says, and that is the body, or what's called the church, is the bride. And so she has made herself ready. And so we are here tonight to be able to participate. We're just kind of, if I could explain this, we exercise the wedding ceremony. Of course, we know that the Creator is going to have a whole lot bigger banquet than we could come up with. And of course, what He serves and how He handles it will be greater than we can ever imagine in our minds and in our hearts. But tonight, I want you to be able to be aware of what we're going to be doing. And we'd like for you very, very much to participate within it. We are going to have, first of all, we are going to have a candle lighting. And what that will take place, we will have one lady, she will go, she will light those lights, and a lady at any one of these tables will also light their lights. And she will say the prayer in Hebrew, and she'll translate it in English, and I hope you'll hear carefully because it's a very beautiful prayer. And if you look around, the banners that we are in the lower section are the banners that are ours. The ones that are up high, they belong to the church that operates this place. And anyway, these banners are kind of really special to us. Of course, we all know I am the life and the resurrection. And that little sign beneath it is time, meaning life. That's Hebrew word for life. And the next one on is Baruch Ata Hashem Adonai. And we know what that means because Jesus said that to the city of Jerusalem. And he says, I will not come until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, meaning the Messiah. And above there, in this far right-hand side, it's right-hand side as I am at, it talks up there, and you'll see one called the match. And beneath it is the bride, the bride price, how much he has to pay for his bride. And then the betrothal, betrothal. That's, of course, making a commitment. You know how it is, and when you are engaged, that means you're engaged, so not married yet, but you're still engaged. And the repairing of the bridegroom. And then the bride gift. Decoration of the bridegroom's coming, and then the kubah, and then the wedding celebration. On the far side, you see there the match. It says Shabbat. That is Sabbath. That's the time when everything. The reason why Shabbat is a match, because within the Word of God, seven is a completion. It is now we are completed. Now the match is perfect. Seven is a very important number to God. On the other side, it says the Passover sacrifice. That is the price that the Messiah paid for his wife. Okay? We all kind of familiar with Passover. That's the time when Christ was killed. All right? Then we have the betrothal. That is the Passover dinner. What happens at Passover? There's also, actually, it's a feast of Days of Unleavened Bread. We have a Passover meal that night. And we partake of bitter herbs, and we partake of the things that are associated with what's written within the Word of God. I'm not going to explain an awful lot to you tonight. I want to introduce you to what's going on and why you are here today. And the next one is preparing the bride. This has to be unleavened bread. That means the bride has to get herself ready. And biblically speaking, when the Bible starts talking about the days of unleavened bread, which is 7 days, it's a completion, completion of purity, completion of sincerity and truth. Apostle Paul says, this is what the days of unleavened bread is about. It's 7 days of sincerity and truth. You purge out wrath and you purge out malice. So the bride is making herself ready. The church is making herself ready by purging those things out of their life. And the bride gift is Sukkot. Sukkot is a time of year in which there is a, called the wheat harvest. It's in the summertime. And in that particular thing, there is a certain kind of bread that we present unto God. And it's a very precious bread, and it's a gift. And it really is given unto. And what did Jesus say? He is the bread of life. It's come down. Everything associated with Messiah, everything associated with holy days has everything to do with Christ and everything to do with Jesus. Also, his name is also Yahshua in Hebrew. You're not familiar with that word, but that is his name in Hebrew. When they talked to him, they didn't say Jesus. They said Yahshua because they didn't speak Greek. Hope you understand that. The declaration of the bridegroom coming again. This is the blowing of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, this is a very interesting time. There's a lot of things with the blowing of the Feast of Trumpets. And there's a lot of meetings within it. But one of the meetings is, guess who's coming? You know, we have this story. Remember the virgins, the ten virgins? Five were wise, five were not. Well, it says, he's coming. And that's kind of like what this is referring to. So, you know, it's like a message to us that we as a people of God need to make sure that we have enough oil to be able to enter in when he says, come. And then the Akupa we have over here is the Day of Atonement. Day of Atonement is a very special day. It's a day in which the Messiah, who represents the high priest, and Aaron, who was the high priest, went into the Holy of Holies, and he did certain ceremonial things, but had to do with removal of all sins, of all transgressions, and all inequities. Yom Kippurim is the Hebrew word for it. Yom Kippur, you probably have heard in all your calendars. It just means cover or covering. And we all know what it says. We are covered by what? The blood of the Messiah. Your sins are covered. Your inequities are covered. And your transgressions are covered. And the Kippur, when the Israelites went out from Egypt, remember the cloud that went over them? It was a dark cloud, but it protected them. It protected them from everything. Not only the elements of the world, but also the elements of the demonic world. In this case, Satan. And now we come down to the wedding celebration. This wedding celebration is a 7-day thing. It's very common. Remember when Jesus had changed the water into wine? That was 7-day celebration. And what happens, the bride and the bridegroom get ready for the actual marriage. And the family comes in. Remember in the marriage ceremony, in that one about the when he changed the water into wine, there was a governor in charge of it. Remember that? The governor in charge of it. So in a sense, when we look here at the Feast of Tabernacles, which kind of represents that beginning of it, and we come to the end of it, which is the 8th day, which we are entering in tonight. And that is the day in which the marriage begins. Actually, union between the two. She is now his wife. And we as a church, we as a people who of God, who want to be like God, think like God, act like God, we want to be there. And this is what it boils down to. In the book of Hosea, 2nd chapter, sometimes we say, okay, if we are the bride, what do we wear? All right? I mean, every woman that's ever gotten married, is, oh, what am I going to wear, right? Well, this is what the eternal creator of heaven and earth has said. This is what I am going to have you to wear. Okay? I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I'll betroth you to me in righteousness, in justice, in loving kindness, in mercy. I'll betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the eternal. It shall come to pass in that day, and I will answer you. He also says, there's going to come a time when you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. Isn't that going up and down your spine? Because we look at our Lord and Master as Lord and Master, right? And that's what we're supposed to do. But there's going to come a time when he says, I don't want you to call me that anymore. And we have Jesus giving the hint to his disciples. I don't want you to call me anymore what you have called me. I am not your Lord. I am your friend. And I want you to know a friend will tell a friend. And a friend will be a friend. Lord and Master is a little bit different picture, isn't it? And that's going to come to all of us who want to be with God, want to be with Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach.